So how did you make the money? So there's a couple of different ways how you make money on a podcast and your guys specifically. So first I want to talk about Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon is something that, once again,
shout out to them.
We didn't know anything about Patreon until we started a podcast, and somebody actually put in a comment on Instagram, like, you guys have a Patreon. And I'm like, what's Patreon?
I'm like, yo, you know what Patreon is? And we like, no. I'm like, all right, let me just type it in. Let's see what this is.
And there's actually, that's the one site that there's a ton to Google about. Like, when you start podcasting, there is no blueprint to what we're doing.
No, there's nothing.
There's not. So I can give you all of the steps that I did exactly. That doesn't mean you're going to see the success of money I made. There's just really no blueprint to this. But Patreon, there is. And again, at this point, when we first started the podcast, we were paying for studio. We were paying for edits. We needed flyers. There was expenses coming out. And we were like, okay, let's find a way to bring money in. And so we started our Patreon account.
So, all right. So you guys are really doing really well with Patreon. So can you talk about that? Like, what's your model for Patreon?
So for Patreon, we wanted to, you have to give them more than what they're getting. So as podcasting, I don't think people realize, like, the amount of information we give out, that's for free to a lot of people. And we started growing. We really have supporters. I like to think of our audience as they're our sisters. They're our best friends. We're in their head as those things. And so being as vulnerable as we have and transparent with our lives, people wanted to support us, but we were just giving them content for free. So we were like, okay, what can we give them for a subscription? That's what Patreon is. It's a subscription platform that you could add to your already present platform.
For creatives.
And
it doesn't have to be podcasts.
It could be videos. Anybody can have a Patreon
account. And how much you make on Patreon?
So currently we're seeing close to $9,000 a month.
So what do you have?
Like, so right now we offer a $2 tier, a $5 tier, and a $15 tier. And for our $15 patrons and $5 patrons, they get 3 bonus episodes a month. So as a creator, we are, you know, creating now 7 to 8 episodes a month. And then for our $15 tier patrons, we send them out merch. So every 4 months, they are able to receive merch from us. And it can be anything from a crew neck, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, socks, a mug. And so every 4 months, they're now getting merch that you can only get as being a top tier patron, which is dope because now that we do live shows and they come in with the merch, we know that they're supporters and it's just a different connection that we have with them. But also it allows them to have their own community boards. Mm-hmm. They talk with each other. We give information that we only give to our patrons that we don't put on our public platforms. And then now that we are also on tour, it's the only place that you can be to get access to pre-sale tickets, which was a big thing because our Patreon community sold out our VIP tickets for our New York show before it was even open to the public. So people feel like, you know, they're still getting value and being a part of that community.
Dope. And how long did it take to grow? How many patrons do you have?
We have about 1,400.
How long did it take to grow that?
We started our Patreon account December of 2017. Okay. And I can remember, I think we started with maybe getting $80 a month. And then that grew to 200 and 300, and it's a slow climb. But then that's when we went from giving them one episode to 2 episodes to now 3 episodes. So we've grown to let them know that they're getting, you know, their money's worth.
No, it was crazy. The first month we started Patreon, like I said, we had no idea. Like, even creating the tiers, it was like, how do we even price it? We try to figure out what would make sense. And then, like, the first month we had like 2 people.
Oh, we were happy because we was like, great, $80, it covers our studio. Like, now we weren't having to pay for the studio because these 5 people who, you know, wanted to support us was now, it was covering our costs.
No, Patreon is a great idea. And like I said, not just for podcasters, any creative that's looking to grow organically, because what it allows is for your natural supporters, people that really, really support you, to support you financially. And it's not just charity, they're getting something for it as well. So like what we've done with our Patreon is that we've given like the top two tiers access to our online university, which is called EYL University. They also get access to live stream events, all of our events. They get discounts to our events, I think like 20% discount.
20% to the events and to our merch.
Nice.
So when they go to earnleisure.com, they can buy the merch.
And they get FaceTime calls at the highest level, right?
Yeah, we're gonna, so like now.
Oh yeah, we started the calls. I was like, girl.
We're in the process of revamping it, because it's like, yeah, we've added so much content now that we can maybe offer like another episode. So we're going to start doing things like that too.
Right.
Maybe even transcripts.
Yeah, transcripts
of the episode. We're on that. A lot of time people want to like...
They take notes.
They want over and above. So I really like when you told me that you was making $9,000 a month off of Patreon. I really like that, because it's a way to... Because like you said, the podcasts are free.
Right.
So it's like, it's hard for podcasters to provide. So and people don't understand how much work it takes to take to do a podcast. Yeah.
It's a full-time job. A full-time job.
And the time too. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. But even so,
and then travel.
Oh, and that's what I was going to say. So with those funds, we were able to, like I told you, our merch for our tour this go around cost us damn near $8,000. Like, it's expensive to buy merch, to sell merch, to go on the road. And so our very first tour that we did, mind you, again, just being on a network, we still own a lot of our content. And so our first tour, we had no agent. So Patreon funded our first tour. Mm. We spent about $20,000 getting the venues. And this was throughout 8 cities. We did 13 shows. And we literally... We're like, okay, let's look at our analytics. What cities are we going to? We looked at our SoundCloud analytics and was like, okay, we have audiences here. We picked what we would feel comfortable as far as venue size. And literally when people ask, we were like, okay, we're going to Atlanta. Google Atlanta Theater. That's what we did.
Yeah.
We Googled the city, followed by the word theater. A list came up. And we started emailing and calling those places, asking for availability and rental cost. And so we went through all of these cities, we picked the venues, we got the rental cost, we knew what we wanted to stay between as far as money. So I think our most expensive venue, of course, was Caroline's.
New York City.
How much was that?
New York City, that one was about
$5,000.
Yeah. And for a matinee show, the comedy clubs weren't dealing with us at all. They didn't know who we were. They didn't really know our podcast. We had a 4 p.m. on a Sunday. So, for the comedy clubs, they were a little bit more pricey, but our venues ranged anywhere from, you know, our venue in Chicago was our least expensive. That one was, I don't know, I think we got for like $150 an hour. And it sat 130 people. We did the numbers. We priced our tickets. We had our friends check people in. We said, here's an extra phone, scan them on Eventbrite. We put all of our tickets on Eventbrite, had our friends at the door. We were like, we not popular, we don't need security. Had no security for the first tour. And we knew we had to be out at a certain time because we weren't paying no over fees. So we rented the venues, kept 100% of the door, and we covered our own hotel and transportation expenses. So for some of the cities, I was like, girl, I'm staying with you. Even though I'm on tour, I'm staying with my home girls.
And how many cities you do your first tour?
Our first tour, we did 8 cities, and in about 3 or 4 of the cities, we had to add an extra show because we sold out the first show.
How much money did you make on your first tour?
Our first tour, we made about $110,000 profit. If you take out the venue cost, we saw almost $100,000.
But now you got an agent.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's different.
That's
now,
changed
right?
some things.
It's changed the game for you.
Yes. We are now signed to WME. And they are now doing our second tour. And we went from doing 8 cities to 17 cities.
And how has that helped you as far as like boost up the amount of cities?
It's been amazing because we don't have to... we don't have to call the venues and be like, hey, so we want to do a show. Like, that was the thing. We're walking into these venues. We're doing tech. We're doing sound. We're making sure the green room is cool. We're handling the guest list. They're like, y'all don't have anyone. And it was literally me and my co-host with our friends that wanted to help. Mm. And so we're going into these venues as the booker, the talent, the management, the producers, of everything.
Like, so now the agent takes care of all those roles?
No, the agent takes care of booking the venues. Okay. And we now have a tour manager and a tour assistant that deal with the writers, production, to where we can now show up and put on a show.
And they get paid?
Yes, they get paid.
Percentage off of that?
Our assistant, we pay salary. Our tour manager, we pay salary. And the agent takes a percentage.
You said writers or writers?
Writers. So like
the list of things you need?
The things, the hospitality writer is what we ask for in our green room. So I wanted to be like, I want Skittles
on that writer?
With the purple ones taken out. But I was like, no, let me stop. But I was like, ooh, we talent now. Like, we went to Howard Theater, which was one of our biggest venues, and my name was on the room. I was like, I need all them pictures. But no, I'm my rider. It's Tito's, which I might have to up that because it'd be gone before the show starts. So I got Tito's. My co-host has like Red Bull, like it's simple. That's our hospitality rider. And then we have our production rider. Mm-hmm. So what we need on stage, the music that we're going to play, the host, what time we want them and come out. So we still are very much in charge with the production of our show.
Okay.
And that's dope because
that's important to us.
It's so the podcast game is becoming like a real crazy thing where it's like as a podcast you can go on tour just like a musician can go on tour. Yeah. Right? And you get the same benefits. And it's like what you described for your first year, that's like where we're at right now, because mm-hmm. we're on our tour right now, but we do everything ourselves.
So that's the thing that I will say. A lot of people see a lot of podcasts going on tours or doing live shows and they automatically think they have to do it. I would go against that. I think a lot of people think that, you know, if they're not doing live shows then they're not successful. And I think they need to focus on maybe reaching their audience more before just, okay, we're going to do a live show. Because I do know a lot of podcasters that are like, okay, it's time for me to do a live show. And then they get the venue, they start selling tickets, and no tickets are being
sold. What's the number, though? Like, when do you know?
Well, our blueprint was we did networking events. We did free networking events in six cities in America. We did LA, Chicago, Houston, New York, Atlanta. Anywhere else?
No, you got them all.
Five. We did five free.
In DC?
No, we're not a networking event.
Oh, right,
we did
right.
Five free networking events last year. Free, completely free. Come, and we just made money off of merch and the bar. We split percentage on the bar, right? We did that for a few different reasons. A, we wanted to just get out and touch the cities.
I like that.
And interact with the people. And we used it as a real-time gauge to see how hot we was in those areas.
I really like that.
Nice. It's like the pop-up shops.
For our first live show, again, like I was telling you guys before, as an accountant, I'm looking at margins and break even and all of the things necessary and looking at what we had to put out and so what we needed to sell tickets at. We did have our studio that we recorded at the time. He put up the money and then we paid him back with the ticket sales. But we literally, our first show, we saw no money at all, and we weren't doing it for money, but we were doing it to reach our audience. Mm-hmm. So I would say that would maybe be another tip, is to make sure you price the tickets at something where you could at least break even, and not to look at your first live show as something to make a ton of money off of. So maybe sizing your venue down with something that's not going to cost a lot.
Yeah, and so it's dope because it's all a learning experience.
It is.
So for us now, like I said, we're in a stage where we're not signed to anybody and we don't have any booking agents or anything. So we're doing all this stuff. It's a lot of work. That's why we kind of like spread it out like 6 weeks in between shows. And we do two. So we do like a live podcast and we do a workshop too. So it's like a 2-day event. But when we got invited, like I said, shout out to 85 South. And we got invited to, they were guests on Lip Service.
Yes.
On the Lip Service, Angela Yee's podcast. So we went to the show that they had in New York City.
Oh, at the Apollo?
No, at where was it at, Troy?
Lincoln Hall was
what? Lincoln Hall, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was, so they were guests on Lip Service.
Yes.
So we got there before 85 South got there. So they brought us to their like room, their green room, and like they had the liquor bottles, and it was like a real like backstage for performer.
No,
like,
you know what I'm saying? No, but as a podcaster, especially if you're doing the like you're an artist.
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, it's crazy.
These
now,
are the
like,
entertainers
like,
of the generation.
Like, me being on tour, like, we're going through riders. We have day calls. We have sound checks. We have, it's really crazy. Like, yeah. And when I'm talking to my friends who are in the music industry, they're like, you know, dang, you have like a real tour, like a real schedule. Like, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like, I'm a music artist. It's kind of
weird. But I say that to say, it's like, it's always a progression in the business. So it's like, now you have staff that handles your touring for you, that helps it out. Now you can add more shows and it makes it, you know, an easier transition. And that's something that a lot of time people don't really think about as far as like, especially like with a podcast or any type of creative, it's like there's more to it than just the content.
But I think, and it's one of the things that we're trying to get now, I don't think people realize the importance of a team. And so for a lot of the beginning of us, it was just me and her. And we did. We thought we could do it all. Like I said, we were every position imaginable. And it's there's only so far that you could take yourself before you create a team. So you guys having someone be behind the camera, that's dope. You guys now don't have to deal with the video element of something, and you have him doing that. Us now having an engineer helps without me having to do the editing when we're dealing with a tour. We're looking for an assistant, social media person. Like, you, it takes a team. Mm-hmm. Which I think is why you have these people like Angela Yee and Brilliant Idiots and Joe Budden, who has been able to go so far because they have people that have the roles.
Nah, yeah. That's a fact. 85 South Show, so they had 19 people.
Yeah.
On their tour.
Was big,
and they said they started with, they was doing, I think, like 100 to 200 people. Now they do like 3,000. 3,000 people.
They started out with a wood table and three microphones.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, I mean, anyone looking to get into the space, if they're looking for it to be a business, this definitely is something that you can grow to be, like, very, you know, profitable.
So hosting. You get paid on hosting too, right?
Yes. How's that work out? So I do panels, hostings. That just goes with bookings. And I love it because it's literally like, bro, I'm getting paid to talk. It's like this is still, it's a nuance that I can't even explain. Like, I'm the one that had to be told to shut up in the classroom. Like, you're talking too much.
Speaking engagements.
You know, so there's speaking engagements. Right now we're trying to do after parties, just again, just to be more.
After your events?
After our live shows.
Okay.
Again, you have to realize that the booking of hostings and clubs, that whole scene has changed. They realize that certain people aren't bringing it out. Just because you have a million followers doesn't mean you're even going to bring a crowd. So right now, because promoters don't do that as much anymore, it's us trying to, y'all don't understand though, our reach is here. So as far as club hostings, that's not really a thing. But it's more so, yeah, speaking engagements. And we're doing Mocha Fest in Jamaica, so that's a booking where it's not really talking, but we're going to be doing a live show in Jamaica.
Your agent handles that stuff for you as
no,
well?
No, we got booked on that by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you another major portion of your money comes from ads, right?
Yes.
Good old ad space.
Good old ads. And that's probably one of the hardest things for podcasters. And it's probably the one thing that they look to start to get is ads. And that's the toughest thing, I think, to get as a podcaster. You don't know who to reach out to. You know, okay, we talk about sex. Okay, Blue Chew, Adam and Eve, like, there's certain brands that we know would align well with us, but who do you get in touch with to say, hey, give me money so that I can say your name? It's like, it's hard to come about. So Loudspeaker plays the middleman in that. They bring in majority of our ads outside of any ad agencies that just reach out to us personally.
Prior to Loudspeaker, were you guys, when you were doing it independently, how did you get those people? Or did you get them at all?
We didn't. I remember this guy hit us up and was like, I got a song. And I think we charged him like, all right, come on, for $150. we got other people that would send us stuff and we were doing ads, but we were doing it for like $50. Mm-hmm. Like, just so that we can, well, this will cover our studio time. So, you know, when we first started, we literally were getting, we thought it was anything that mattered. Ooh, we're making money.
Yeah.
But then as we got further and we saw that our audience really bought into the things that we said, again, our relationship with our audience was most important. So we had sex toy companies that hit us up. We were like, we're not giving an ad until we try the product. So there's been companies that have said, we gotta try it out. So there would be companies that would hit us up and I was like, girl, my vibrator died the first time. Like, we not doing that ad on the show. So, no, but seriously.
Quality of the product.
It's very important.
We can't put our name behind this product.
So I think it's important that you're not just accepting any money that comes in because it's being thrown at you.
At first, or just in general?
Even at first, we were like, listen, like, we were talking about how much we liked our vacation in Thailand. We would get DMs, because you said you're going to Thailand, I'm going now. Where did you stay? And we noticed just how much, like, people were following what
impact
we were saying. Yeah, we had a strong impact. And I was like, well, if we're going to have our people spend their hard-earned dollars, not only at our shows, but in products that we're endorsing, I want it to be worth endorsing. So that became important. I know, like, just recently, a tobacco company hit us up. I said, girl, we're not doing that ad. I don't care how much they pay us. I'm not endorsing tobacco. So it's also just really having that, you know, that all money isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a fact.
Yeah.
And we talked about that before in another episode with, like, CPM, how to gauge that. Can you just talk about that? Like,
so CPM, if you Google it, this is how you can determine how much maybe an ad would be worth on your podcast. So $25 is the basic CPM rate. You multiply that by every 1,000 listens that you get. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting 10,000 listens multiplied by $25 per 1,000, that's $250.
Right.
And you can get that per ad. And of course, the number of ads that you approve on your show is up to you. We don't really like to go over 4, and that's maybe 2 mid-rolls and 2 pre-rolls. Most end rolls don't really count as anything. Nobody's buying an end roll.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't listen to a full podcast. So those are normally thrown in for free. But you can decide how many you want to take. But again, if you're seeing 10,000 listens and you take on 4 ads, that's $1,000 for that one episode. And if you're someone who maybe records out of your house and doesn't have much overhead, you're seeing that as profit.
Yeah.
Because now you're not, you know, putting that into your production. So for us, and sometimes you can give a discount. You can be like, okay, I know the standard is 25. I'll give it to you for 22. And so you can gauge it off that. Right now, we base it off of about 70,000 listens, and that fluctuates. You also normally go based off of your numbers for about the six week mark. So this is net 6 weeks.
Right. Because some people look at it like, what's your first week, right?
And yeah, no.
Some people 30 days.
And also you have to realize when you're getting paid for these, sometimes you're not getting paid until net 30 or net 60. Mm. So even though you're getting this money, you're not getting it up front. You're saying the ad and you're not seeing that money till down the line. So being kind of up on when you're owed, when to send invoices, this becomes now a part of the business where you need to keep track of what your money is coming in and what's going out.
Now, also it's important for podcasters to understand too, is that a lot of the ad agencies, they base your numbers off of previous
predated
data. Yeah. So it's like we could be in January right now and then they'll base the numbers off of October.
Yeah.
And it's like 6,000 less listeners than what you currently have.
Right.
And then by the time you get paid, it's not till March.
Right.
Now you got a whole, so it's like you're always chasing back.
But also knowing that you can include your numbers, not only from your audio, but you could be like, yo, listen, I also get another 30,000 views on YouTube.
So
you're allowed to kind of combine those.
You know, it's funny that you say that, not to cut you off, but a lot of, because I was talking once again to one of our good friends in the podcast space, and they were saying that another ad agency that he used to use and that we kind of use sometimes, they didn't allow that. A lot of ads don't allow YouTube.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
It's changing a little bit now. But also, if you guys want to make money for your visuals and your audio, you can just base your audio numbers, which is what we do now because our videos have been pretty inconsistent. So it's not fair to the you know, advertiser. But there's Google AdSense.
Yeah.
So you can still make money off of all of the ads that YouTube is putting into your videos as they so please. We're not able to be as monetized because of our content. Yeah. So if you have a business, you know, podcast or something more kid friendly, which now they even added, you have to check that off. But you can log in, get your Google AdSense, and you can monetize and get paid off of what YouTube ads are being put into.
Another podcast hack to get paid double is that you can do an ad for audio, because most companies just want to advertise audio. Mm-hmm. So you can do the ad for audio, but then if somebody else wants to do an ad, you might not have enough ad space, you can do the ad for YouTube. And you can outside of the ads that they already give you, like you can place an ad in the episode just for YouTube.
So and I wanted to say that too, so because our podcast is not current event based, we do pre-record a ton of content. So we'll go into the studio and bust out 2 or 3 episodes in one sitting. And so we may get an ad last minute and now I have to record it and we're fitting it into audio. So that's also something for people who pre-record their content. Don't feel like you have to miss out on an ad. You can always record it, edit the audio and fit it inside. Make sure you transition it right and say, hey, before we get to that segment, this episode was brought to you by, and you could always feed it into it organically, because a lot of, you know, advertisers do want an organic sounding ad.
Yeah.
They don't want it just placed in. So you can still find ways to transition it if you're editing in a good, you know, roundabout way, especially if you have segments the way you guys do.
Yeah,
it makes it easier.
And that's, like I said, that's important for people to know. So it's like, if you have a business that, you know, you're promoting, you know, teeth straightening, You know, right. if you're a dentist and somebody else wants to do the exact same thing, you can't have two of the same companies advertise on audio. Right. But what you could do is say, okay, it's $500 for audio for your teeth straightening company. So we don't have space, but our YouTube numbers might be half of that. So we can insert a short clip on video just on YouTube, yeah. charge you $250 because right. it's less. So now you're getting $750 and the YouTube listeners aren't hearing audio. Audio listeners aren't watching YouTube for the most part. Right. It's two different audiences. With
two different audiences, yeah. and which beauty, is what I pick up on.
The yes. beauty of the YouTube is that literally you can place it anywhere and as many as you want. Really, mm-hmm. it just has to be after, I think, 10 minutes. That's when you can start placing ads. So you could just place them anywhere. Like, so that's what
we right. And then, I mean, if you are a podcast that is going to start inserting all of these ads, that's where Patreon becomes a great platform because now you can say this yeah. is ad-free content. First, so yeah. a lot of people don't like
they don't want to hear
ads.
It.
Yeah, they yeah, just don't want to yeah. hear it. And so now that becomes a selling point to where, okay, well, you can listen to the episodes ad-free.
And our Patreon members listen to our episodes
early.
Not only.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that.
Not only ad-free, but early as well.
Early access. Yeah, yeah. yeah. We ran into a... a comment like we had posted that we were about to put out the episode and somebody was like, yo, I loved it, it was our favorite, and we were like, yo, how'd you hear it? He's like, yo, I'm on Patreon. I'm like, oh yeah. Shout out to you.
Shout out to, nah, actually I made a, I'm like, yo, it didn't come out yet. Everybody started laughing in the comment section. He was like, yo, he's bugging. And he's like, nah, I'm on Patreon. I'm like, I apologize. Yeah,
but I mean,
salute to all of our patrons.
Outside of making the money, I think one of the other things that is the most important as a content creator is to literally just learn. Whatever you think you're gonna have to pay somebody to do, teach yourself. So like I was saying, I got a MacBook as a gift because I said, I need a MacBook because I need Premiere Pro to edit because all of the people who edit stuff have MacBooks. So I need a MacBook. And so I taught myself how to edit audio on Audacity, GarageBand, and Premiere Pro. I created our media kit. I taught myself how to cut social media clips, how to create social media content like audiograms and videos and anything that I felt we needed as marketing material. And those are things that sometimes you have to pay if you don't know how to do it. So I literally taught myself on YouTube. I would go in and be like, okay, how do I split this track? And there's YouTube videos for literally everything. So for people who maybe have a job but don't have the money to invest in cameras or equipment or studio time or outsourcing all of these jobs, you can teach yourself how to do it. And it's editing audio is fairly simple. It is. It's fairly simple.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The blueprint on how to make money on a podcast. Hey. A lot of jewelry in that segment for sure.